This might be a news flash to some of you, but there's a little fear and anxiety in our world today. Have you noticed that? Yeah, me. Hudson? Anybody? Yeah, I didn't think so. I don't know. You know, sometimes some people, you even start to talk about fear and anxiety and their palms get sweaty. Maybe they get a knot in their stomach and get all twisted up. And hearts start to beat faster. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you struggle with fear and anxiety. Typically, most stuff rolls off of me like water off a duck's back. I've had a few things get me going the last few weeks, probably like a lot of you. You know, maybe when you start talking about fear and anxiety, maybe you start thinking about specific fears. Anybody in here scared of snakes? Seems to be a common one. Hunter. Surprises me. Yeah. Snakes don't bother me as long as they don't surprise me too much. I do hate those big old hairy spiders. So if you're a spider lover, I smash those a lot, and I'm sorry. But I don't care for those much. Heights never used to bother me. I used to scramble up to the top of 50,000 bushel bins without a second thought. Climb up, work on the lids, and didn't bother me in the least. And so couple times I worked some construction, and when I didn't go back to the ranch because they paid better, and I was in college and needed some money, and they apparently liked the way I worked, and they said, hey, we've got an opportunity for you to make some extra money. We'd like you to go to work on a steel crew. And I said, yeah, sign me up. So that didn't last very long. So, yeah, climbing to the top of a 50,000 bushel bin is a little different than grabbing one end of a C-girt and a guy on the other end's got the other end of the C-girt and wants you to keep up with him running across a 4-inch beam. I couldn't do it. I said, cut my pay and put me back on the ground. And they did. And I'm here today to talk about it. So, I don't know about you. I hate flying. Now, with my job, I used to fly 3 to 4 times a month, and then it never bothered me. But now I only fly once or twice a year, and now I hate it. First of all, Matt, you'll relate. I don't fit in regional jets. Neither do you, I'm sure. And they're trying to use these regional jets to fly all the way across the country now, so Matt and I spend all that time cramped up in there. And I also, I'm going to be honest and transparent. I don't like turbulence. It's one thing to be on a horse, and it's another thing to be in an airplane that you're not controlling. So anyway, I'm sure you've probably noticed I'm not Steve. We may dress alike, but he's much, much taller than I am. So and anyway, yeah, Steve and Shelley are camping and backpacking, and Shelley was not feeling well, and I think last message I got is I think they are feeling 100% now, but they didn't want to come back and feel like they should jump back into the middle of us. And so Steve asked if I would preach, and I said, of course, and began praying frantically. You know, speaking of fear, I don't know if any of you, I'm not much of a NFL fan. I'm more of a college football fan, but back in the old golden days of the NFL, I don't know if there's anybody, a Dallas Cowboys fan. And they had a fullback by the name of Walt Garrison. And he relates a story about flying in fear. Talks about one time they were coming back from a game one evening, and the Cowboys' plane ran into some really bad storms. Actually, and through the process of flying through the storm, they actually lost an engine. So if you can imagine, you know, biggest guys in the world, these big NFL players, Walt Garrison says, they're running around this plane screaming like little girls that we're all going to die. And the captain comes on and says, I really would like you guys to assume the crash position. So these guys are panicking and screaming. Everybody is thinking about their life and the end of it. And Walt relates the story about Don Meredith with, if you're an old Cowboys fan, you know that he was Dandy Don Meredith. Meredith was the Cowboys quarterback for 9 seasons. And then he was one of the original crew on Monday Night Football. And he said Don Meredith in Don Meredith's style, when the captain said, hey, assume the crash position, he said Don just reclined his seat as much as airplane seats will recline. And this will date this story. He said Don reclined his seat, lit up a cigarette, and said, hey, boys, it's been a good one. Let's go. And we all would like to think that's the way we face fear, but my guess is that's not the way most of us do face fear. Maybe we'd like to believe that we face fear like those guys who jumped out of landing craft into the water, staring straight into machine guns, stepping over their slain comrades, trying to establish a beachhead on Normandy. And it's hard to imagine that kind of courage. But at the end of the day, regardless of how brave you are, regardless of how much courage you have, your strength will only carry you so far. You can only white-knuckle it through so much. So many flights, right, Matt? You can only white-knuckle it through so much. We're going to rest pretty much on one verse today. We're going to spend our time in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and primarily focus on verse 15, and we'll touch on 16 a little bit. But I just want us to leave here today overcome by God's presence, the work of the Holy Spirit, because our world is in chaos. And there are so many people around us suffering from fear and anxiety that's paralyzing to many people. And it breaks my heart. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul gets done and he lays out the character traits of the new man in Christ. When you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and named him as your Savior, Paul lays out those character traits that we should have, that as believers, that we should be merciful, kind, humble, long-suffering. We should forgive one another, bearing with one another, because as believers, we have been forgiven, and Jesus has bore with us. And then Paul says something interesting. But above all these things, put on love. And my contention for you today, not when you white-knuckle it and in your own power try to do the right things in love, but when we humble ourselves and love like Jesus loves and loved us, we are humble. We are merciful. We are kind. We are gentle. We do bear with one another. We do forgive, because it becomes so clear and obvious to us how much we've been forgiven for. One of the greatest things that ever helped me in my preaching and teaching is realizing many, many years ago, apart from Jesus Christ, who I am and what he has forgiven me of and from. And it just changes everything when we put all our faith and hope and trust in him. So then Paul writes, verse 15, and I look around at our world and I see this world really does need love, does it not? I mean, do you remember a time where we've been less patient with one another, less forgiving of one another? Because we're not enjoying the peace of Christ, is my contention. So Paul writes verse 15, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. So Paul transitions from these describing these character traits. You have called upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior, and you are the new man or woman. And Paul describes those character traits, and now he talks about moving from those character traits to our conduct. And he says, as a new man or woman in Christ, you are to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So Thursday morning, I'm packing my briefcase, and my suitcase is already packed and in my pickup, and Pastor Steve calls and says, John, we're not feeling well. Would you preach Sunday? Yeah. Could you call me like Tuesday or Monday? But, you know, as God would have it, he worked. I started driving and praying, and, you know, I guess if there's one good thing about this dry weather, I didn't need to mow Saturday. So I found myself with a little extra time to put this together, and God led me to an old sermon I preached years ago that I took some parts of and just prayed about all week about this world so badly needs to be overcome by God's presence. Amen? And then I get here, and Alyssa and I are on the same page after Denver talking. So, I don't know where you stand on a lot of the things going on in this world today. I am going to challenge you, not with my beliefs, with the Word of God. Okay? Now, there is no doubt coronavirus is a real thing. Unfortunately, there are too many people who are no longer with us, especially in some of these big urban areas, that coronavirus, if not the cause of death, was at least part of the cause of death. So it is a real thing. But we're just getting our peace robbed of us. And the misinformation that we're not going to clear all up today is just driving people bananas. Even believers are letting their peace fly right out of their hands because of everything going on in our world. And can you blame them? If you dare to turn on the news, you've got one side telling you that you should never ever leave your basement. You've got the other side telling you this whole thing is a figment of your imagination. And we're just being played like a good piano. I don't know what's right, but I do know that the peace of Christ should rule in your heart. One day we're told, I mean, is it any wonder we get agitated? One day we're told that masks are the answer. The next day we're told they do nothing. What do you believe? What do you do? And many people want us to believe that if we're not wearing one, even when we're in our own car by ourselves, that we're going to die. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, please. You know, add into that, there are many people, some of you probably in this room today, that are very concerned about your income and your job. There might be some of you in here in this room today carrying the burden of working like crazy, trying to keep a business afloat and provide for your family and your employees as well. Is it any wonder that our peace is at risk and there's much anxiety in this world? And of course, we can have no debate in America without throwing the kids into the mix. They have to be good fodder, right? I mean, the same people telling us that, you know, one side telling us we should have never shut schools down, the other side telling us we're sentencing teachers to death sentences if we send kids back to school. I don't know what's right, but I do know that the peace of God should rule in your hearts. Does it ever stop? I don't know. I'm telling you where I stand, and I work with immunology every day. That doesn't make me right. I'm just telling you where I stand. I don't fear coronavirus. But I give my peace up just as fast as maybe some of you and some of the world does when Walmart or anybody else has the audacity to tell me I will wear a mask, end of discussion. I give up my peace too. So I'm not immune, and I don't mean to stand here and make you think that I am. I don't fear coronavirus, but you know what I do hate? I hate what it is doing emotionally to many people that I love. So what's the answer? Because the world's going to give you two choices or more. You know, many people are telling us, well, it's damn the torpedoes and full steam ahead. Just lower our heads, forge on, and push on under our own power. Well, I don't know about you, but the things that I do in my own power tend to fail. I think the answer is found in the next verse in Colossians chapter 3:16. And it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. When the world wants to take your peace, when we are struggling to keep the peace of Christ, the answer is to go into His Word and let it dwell in you richly and to meditate on it and chew on it. You see, it is not the word of Fox News. It is not the word of CNN that brings life. It is only the Word of God and the living Word, Jesus Christ, that bring life. Because see, only Jesus lived a perfect life on this earth, and He died a debt. He died a death that I could not die, to pay a debt that I could not pay. Only Jesus is the answer and provides the peace. His word alone is sufficient to bring life, and if we let it dwell in us richly, we can experience the peace of Jesus. And it never has to leave us, because as He promises in Hebrews chapter 13, He says He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so, in that same verse, it says that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And you know what else it says? The Lord is my helper and I will not fear. We're told in Matthew 10, an often used one of the parables, that not a single sparrow falls to the ground apart from God knowing it and it being a part of God's will. And it goes on to say that you and I are much more valuable than many sparrows. We've got to hold on to those truths and carry them with us when the fear and anxiety of the world wants to encroach upon us. And we need to remember what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And this one I pray for each of us today. Because if we are to be encompassed by God's presence, I think we have to hold on to this truth. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. I'm going to leave you with a verse you're very familiar with out of Philippians chapter 4. There are many things in this world that bring us fleeting happiness. There is nothing in this world that will satisfy. Nothing. There are people who have tried. Look at the people, the lottery winners in the world, and in 5 years they're broke because they couldn't get satisfied. Look at the porn industry. It is bigger than Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NFL combined in revenue. But anybody who's caught in it will tell you it doesn't satisfy. There's only one thing that satisfies, and that is Jesus. So Philippians 4 says, be anxious for nothing. Just meditate and chew on this verse all week. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, what? Let your requests be made known to God. And here's the promise, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, all comprehension. I love this part. Will guard your heart and your mind. In the Lord, we need our minds guarded and our hearts guarded right now, don't we? So I'm going to leave you with this thought before we pray. I don't know what's all going to happen. I know Jesus will keep his word. I know that he knows the end of the coronavirus already. I know that he knows the results of this upcoming election already. And I know that the book of Romans tells me whoever wins that race is appointed by God. So I'm going to rest in that, and I'm going to do my best to let his word guard my heart and my mind, and I pray that you all will do the same. So, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. The world wants to rob our peace, and when it does, then it wants us to try to find peace somewhere other than you. My prayer is that we would let your peace settle upon us and encompass us, as Alyssa sang about today, and overcome us, guard our hearts, guard our mind. And God, what an amazing time this is for us to be and look like and act like the church. To share your truth, that salvation comes from no other name but the name of Jesus. And we can love like you love because you live within us. So, Father God, please be with us. Watch over us this week and the coming months. Let your peace guard our hearts. In your name we pray these things. Amen.